If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? Luke 16:11. I am Rob West. We're called to be good stewards of God's resources, but being financially faithful amid the busyness of modern life isn't easy. Today, I'll tell you how to stay faithful in managing your money. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's easy to feel overwhelmed these days and be tempted to take the path of least resistance with money. Maybe it's easier to grab a cup of coffee on the way to work than to make it yourself, or to hit a fast food drive-through rather than making dinner for the family. But those expenses add up quickly, and before you know it, there isn't quite enough money left over at the end of the month to meet your obligations, and you're charged a late fee. It doesn't have to be that way. With preparation, you can avoid it. First, carve out some time each week for prayer. Ask God for wisdom in managing your money. James 1:5 tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Next, you need a spending plan. It's essential for managing your money faithfully. If you're not living on a budget, download the free FaithFi app in your app store. It has three different ways to set up a budget with step-by-step instructions and help from our team. The FaithFi app will also track your expenses so you stay on budget. Developing your budget will show clearly whether you have enough income to meet your expenses. If you don't, there are really only two options. You can either cut your expenses or look for ways to increase your income. Trimming the budget may be easier, so look at the categories where you spend a lot of money first. You may not be able to do much right away with your rent or mortgage, but what about food? Groceries and eating out can gobble up a big chunk of your budget, but planning can save you a lot of money. Limit getting carryout to 1 to 2 times a month. Instead, draw a menu plan for the week. Make a list of the items you'll need to prepare those meals before you go to the store. Actually, shopping online for groceries can save you money because you're not tempted by impulse buying and you see the running tab of the items you choose. That will help you stay on budget by not overspending in your food category. Most of the bigger chains offer online shopping now, often at no charge. Then, look for other ways to trim your spending. Are you still subscribing to streaming services you're not using? Can you form a babysitting pool with other parents? Or maybe look for free activities in your community? Every little bit helps. Now, once your budget is balanced, ideally you'll have something left over. This is also essential. Unless you can learn to live below your means, you'll be running up debt every month. More on that in a bit. Now, the next step in staying financially faithful is to take that leftover money, even if it's only a little, and begin saving up your emergency fund. You absolutely must have a reserve of cash to meet unexpected expenses, things outside your budget, like a furnace needing repair or a medical bill. Start with a goal of $1,500, then keep going, adding bit by bit. You'll want to eventually save 3 to 6 months' living expenses in your emergency fund. It may take a long time, and you will no doubt have setbacks along the way, but the peace of mind you'll get once you have your emergency fund in place will be worth the effort. Okay, I mentioned debt earlier. If you have it, you know firsthand that Proverbs 22:7 is true. The borrower is slave to the lender. Make a plan to get out of debt. You can split your leftover money, applying some to your emergency fund and the rest to paying down consumer debt. Use the snowball method to speed this up. Pay all of your minimum payments, but more on the account with the smallest balance. When that's paid off, put your extra money on the next smallest balance. Rinse and repeat until the debt is gone. If you're having trouble meeting those minimum monthly payments, contact our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org to get on a debt management plan. They can get your interest rates reduced so that you can pay off your debt 80% faster. Once your consumer debt is paid paid off, you can turn to retirement savings. Strive to save 10 to 15% of your income in a tax-advantaged plan like an IRA or 401k. If your employer offers matching contributions, you want to do this as quickly as possible to take full advantage of that free money. All of these things are important, but perhaps the best way to be financially faithful is to remain generous. Strive to be a percentage giver to your local church, and then look to give sacrificially beyond it. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Anyone who's ever ridden in a car with a child is quite familiar with that question. Whether it's a 10-minute trip or a cross-country trek for a family vacation, children so focus on the destination, where they're going, that it affects how they experience the journey. And people in Jesus' day were no different. They wanted to know if the end was near. Are we there yet? And Jesus' answer might surprise you from Matthew 24. He said, "No one knows when that will be, but the end will be like the days of Noah." People were living life, then suddenly the end. Scary. But in Christ, that's where our hope lies. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchored.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is a unique moment in the history of our country where we have an opportunity to restore the foundations of this nation.
Tony Perkins of Washington Watch.
To a nation that once again honors God. It will not happen unless God's people are informed and engaged.
Join Tony Perkins for Washington Watch. Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evening at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. This is where we apply the wisdom from the Bible to your financial decisions and choices. You see, God owns it all. We're stewards of His resources, so we want to look to transcendent wisdom that only comes from God's Word to apply to the decisions and choices we're making today, because money is a tool to accomplish God's purposes, but it's also a test. It's clear in Scripture that we need to be on our guard with regard to the love of money, pursuing earthly temporal riches over eternal treasure that will last forever, that ultimately allows our heart posture to be focused on the right things. And handling God's money is also really a testimony to the world. How do we respond in uncertain times? How do we respond when we have little? Do we trust in God, or do we allow money to usurp God's rightful place in first position, putting our faith in the temporal? What about when we've been blessed with much? Are we willing to hold it loosely and give generously? wisely. These are all the things we want to be thinking about as we make the daily decisions around allocating God's money. Well, we want to do that together here on this program. What are you thinking about today? Give us a call at 800-525-7000. That's right, we have some phone lines open today, and our team is standing by. 800-525-7000. You can call with any financial question. All right, let's begin in Texas. Tyler, thank you for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob, I appreciate you taking my call.
Absolutely.
I'm a new listener. I've been listening for a couple months. I'll be the first to admit I'm not the most knowledgeable in this financial sector. But I'm 25, and I'm basically trying to find a good spot I could put my money just to kind of build and get a head start on my future.
Very good. Well, we've all got to start somewhere, Tyler, so don't be worried about that. And I'm actually going to send you a resource I'll tell you about in a minute that maybe will get you started in that direction. So give me a little bit more about your life. What's going on? Are you thinking about marriage? Are you in school? What are you doing?
So I got my associates a couple of years ago. I have a fiance. We're planning on getting married this year. I have a 3-month-old, and we bring in together I'd say about $55,000 a year.
Okay.
We work for a good landscaping company.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah. And have you been able to save up any money, Tyler?
Yeah, we have about close to $10,000. I have one app. It's Acorns Investing. My brother told me about it.
Yeah.
So I have a couple in there. I have another little chunk over in my savings account. And that's paying me 0.03 annually percent. And I was like, man, I didn't feel like that was, good enough.
Sure, sure. Well, when we think about handling money God's way, I mean, we've got to recognize, first of all, that God is the owner of everything. He's your provider, you and your fiance. And so you want to be wise and faithful in managing God's money. And that's obviously the purpose of your call today. Beyond that recognition, we want to understand that kind of living through those daily decisions of allocating God's money is one of the ways that He grows our faith, because the way you handle money is a tangible demonstration of where you've placed your trust and what you value. And so when we begin to look at it in that light, it does cause us to want to step back and say, okay, what's most important to me? And as you get married as one flesh, as a married couple, what is God doing in our life as a family? Where is He taking us? And what do we want to be known for? How do we take and allocate God's money in a way that's responsible but reflects what's most important to us? We don't want the world to dictate how you should spend your money. You want to do that based on your values and your priorities. And then the budget, the spending plan, Tyler, becomes that instrument of peace in the marriage, where it's a tangible demonstration of those values on a daily basis. And so you give every dollar a name. And that's going to start with you getting an accurate understanding of exactly what does it take for you to live throughout a month's time. And again, when you get married now as a family, and put that on paper or put it into a smartphone app like the FaithFi app, and make sure it balances. And here's the key: is you've got to live within your means, but you also want to have margin. That is something left over at the end of the month, because that's going to be key to you and your future wife funding your goals and your objectives. Because if you don't have anything left over, you can't pay down debt. You can't save for the future. You can't invest. You can't give more, those types of things. And so that's why living within your means, having a spending plan, is so key. Now, beyond that, we need to define those priorities. And again, they should be, starting with your faith and your values, and then flowing from there. I love the idea that you all have saved up $10,000. Acorns is a great way to do it, because you're automating your savings. It's kind of running in the background. That's a really helpful way to go. I think in terms of that, what I call emergency fund, let's call that bucket one of your savings. The goal there should be to get up to 3 to 6 months worth of expenses. So you remember I talked about that budget, whatever the total spending is over a month's time, we want to get up to 3 to 6 months of those expenses in that emergency fund. That's going to give you something to fall back on when the unexpected comes, and it will. And then you don't have to put that on credit cards. Beyond that, we should be looking at other short-term goals. I'm thinking, between 1 and 5 years, that's bucket two. That might be you and your future wife buying a home. It may be starting a college fund. Hopefully you're already funding retirement, but if not, we certainly need to be doing that. And hopefully you have a company-sponsored plan there at the landscaping company. But in that 1 to 3 year bucket, it's what are those things in the short term that we need to be saving for? Typically, it'd be saving for a down payment on a house. It might be replacing a car. But we've got to define those and then start saving toward those. And then the longer term bucket, which is really 5 years plus, in many cases, 10 years plus, that's where we're saving for retirement. And that's where when you start now as a young man, just kind of starting out with your family, if you have a lot of years of compounding working for you, you're going to be able to save quite a bit of money that you and your wife can use to supplement Social Security way down the road when you need it. I would use a company-sponsored plan if you have one, especially if there's matching. And then as a fallback, you could use what's called a Roth IRA. But let me stop there and just see what questions you have.
I agree pretty much with everything that you said. I feel like you're leading me in the right direction. I wrote down some of the stuff you said.
Okay.
And I kind of get your idea as far as, you know, having your different buckets and whatnot. So what I just have, you know, say a couple different savings accounts as far as, okay, one is going to be my emergency fund. And then I say two would be my, you know, my house payment. All my cars and everything's paid off. And
okay, cool.
The house is basically, that was next on our list. We don't have many bills. And the only debt we have is I have her ring and then a little credit card, but that's not too much.
Yeah.
But besides that, my next thing would be, I guess I need to figure out if my my employer offers the retirement plan.
That's
and
right.
If not, how do I go about the Roth IRA and getting that? I'm a little confused on all that.
Aspect. Yeah, no problem.
And honestly, is that...
Go ahead.
Is that something I should really worry about now, or should I kind of handle the other two and prioritize those first?
Yeah, so here's the priority order for me. I want you to get up. Well, now that you've got the $10,000 in savings, let's get the credit cards paid off completely. Okay, let's get that eliminated. The next step would be, let's determine how much your goal is for that down payment on the house, and let's, you know, take a portion of your margin that you have every month and start saving toward that. If you have a retirement plan at work and they're matching, meaning they're going to, usually they'll match up to 3%, in some cases 5, that's free money. I want you to go ahead and take advantage of that. If not, then let's focus on the down payment of the house after the emergency fund, because that's really the more immediate need. And you can start that retirement account in a Roth IRA once you've got your down payment on the house. Hey, the other thing I want you to do is I want you and your fiance to sit down and start talking about what your lifestyle is going to look like when you get married. You know, what you want to do in terms of giving. Talk about what money was like growing up. And, you know, that's going to have a lot to do with how you both view and handle money today. God's goal in marriage is unity and oneness. And in this area of finances, starting now and beginning to communicate is really key. Stay on the line. I want to send you Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton as our gift. And we'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
19-year-old Jacob Kersey served his community as a police officer until they decided to challenge his First Amendment rights. On his own time and his own Facebook page, Jacob shared 3 sentences summarizing the biblical truth about marriage. The department placed him on leave, told him to remove the post, and threatened to fire him if he made any future comments. Instead of bowing to their demands, Jacob quit. Take time to let him know you support his stand and are praying for him. Stop by AFA.net today.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner. American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years, fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Take your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. Give us a call with your question. Again, 800-525-7000. Let's head to North Carolina. Hi, Randy. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Second-time caller. Love the show.
Thank you.
Had a quick, kind of like a two-part question today. Is there a pros and cons versus like a one-time bigger sum investment versus a smaller, like a monthly kind of contribution to an investment? And then the second part of my question would be, what would you recommend for the highest yield as far as percentage rate?
Yeah, well, let's unpack that. So give me a little bit more on what you were thinking about with that first part of that question, in terms of a smaller amount versus a larger.
Okay, so like if there was anything up to around $20,000 that I can just take that and invest it versus maybe $1,000 to $3,000 a month into something.
Yeah, very good. Well, then the great thing is, Randy, if you're talking about investing in marketable securities, so stocks and bonds, you can invest either way. I mean, you can put in, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in, you know, buying into a mutual fund or a particular stock or a basket of stocks through what's called an exchange traded fund and drop it all in at one time, or you can invest systematically. When you have a smaller amount to invest, that's where the ETFs or the mutual funds really shine. And those mutual funds can be comprised of all stocks or stocks and bonds or all bonds. So you can have a whole variety of strategies. Some of what's called passive, where they're just mirroring one of the market indexes like the S&P 500 or the Russell 3000 or a bond index. In other cases, they're actively managed. So you might be investing and you're counting on the particular expertise of the mutual fund manager to make stock selections that are going to outperform, perhaps in a specific sector like, you know, biotech or technology or something like that. The key is to make sure that you're properly diversified. We see this counsel in God's word. Make sure you divide your portion to seven or even to eight, because you don't know what misfortune may occur on the earth. And the idea is that we don't all want all of our eggs in one basket. But you know, depending on your investment strategy, you can go either way. I kind of like those systematic investments because we can build it right into our plan. And then by doing that, we're essentially what's called dollar cost averaging, where we're buying in at points when the market's high and when it's low. When it's low, we're buying more shares with the same investment, and we have the opportunity for that, you know, as the market recovers and grows, for it to, you know, grow our overall portfolio. So you can go either way, but did you have something else specifically in mind?
That makes sense. And then, well, okay. And then the other thing I was wondering was, what would you recommend, or if you could, if you can recommend, for the highest, I guess, interest rate return on investment?
Yeah. So when you say interest rate, I think, you know, still on the more conservative end of the risk spectrum, you know, typically when we say interest rate, we're thinking things like savings accounts, CDs, bonds, or dividend paying stocks. But then you said the highest return. So that makes me think about the more aggressive or risk oriented end of the risk spectrum. What are you thinking about there?
Yeah, I guess the if you had a recommendation of either or. if there's like pros and cons.
Sure. Yeah, you know, here's the thing. I mean, the Bible's clear about warning against a get-rich-quick mentality, and I'm not saying that's what you're after, but I think we have to be careful when we start to get into a speculative posture where we're trying to seek really high returns, because whenever we're seeking a higher return, there's a commensurate amount of higher risk associated with it. And so, you know, I think a sure and steady approach, it's what the Bible calls steady plodding, is a better approach to investing, which basically says, you know, I'm not going to just seek out those kind of high-flying speculative investments where it's boom or bust. I want to take a more sure and steady approach. In the speculative category, I mean, it would be, well, as of late, a lot of people were investing, especially, you know, a year ago, a couple of years ago, in the crypto space. And although cryptocurrency and the technology behind it is here to stay, I don't think it's good for an investment. There's still far too much volatility. It was kind of like the, you know, internet companies in the late 90s, early 2000s, you know, during the dot-com era, where there was a real bubble. And the reason was it was brand new and we hadn't figured out who were going to be the winners and losers. So people made a lot of money and they lost a lot of money. And the same is true when you're investing in cryptos. And so rather than take that approach, Randy, and you sound like a young guy, I think, you know, if time's on your side, meaning you still have decades for this to grow, I'd rather see you do a systematic investment into a really high quality mutual fund. And you could check with our friends at soundmindinvesting.org or one of the faith-based investing mutual funds we talk about here on the program, Timothy Plan, or Eventide or Praxis, any one of those, or just take what's called an indexing approach, where you'd use like a robo-advisor to basically buy the broad market, largely as a young guy, stocks, and as you get closer to retirement, stocks, and more significantly, bonds, and just participate in the broad moves of the market, but you're lowering your overall volatility because you're not putting all of your eggs in one speculative, high-flying investment that may do great, but also may tank. And, you know, then you've lost your money. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Awesome. Let me do this. I want to send you a book called The Sound Mind Investing Handbook. It really is going to give you a good overview of investing so you can really understand what investing is all about. It's going to all be rooted in biblical wisdom, which is the key. You want God's wisdom, not the world's wisdom, but it's also going to give you a good explanation of all the things I've talked about today so you can begin to grow in your understanding of how this whole space works. It tends to be a little complicated, but as long as you get into it and start learning and you have the, you know, really the heart of a learner, you can pick this up and really do well over time by taking a sure and steady approach to this. Thanks for your call today. Lynn, we're coming your way just after the break. We've got lines open, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
The core of all of the difficulty that we endure here as human beings, it comes down to this. God's word or man's word? One of the major features that has contributed to this degradation of society in our country, in America in particular, is that we have lost our understanding of the transcendent, surpassing glory of God.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Have you downloaded the Faithfi app yet?
You need to do that today because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
You know, as we think about being faithful as a steward of God's resources, that idea of faithfulness, obedient in the same direction over a long period of time, is something that should be a hallmark of our lives. And that certainly should include our finances, the decisions and choices we're making every day with God's money. Hey, let's talk about it. What are you thinking about financially? 800-525-7000. We have some lines open. To Oregon we go. Lynn, you've been very patient. Go right ahead.
Hi, good morning. Yesterday, a caller called in about trying to get spousal benefits of an ex-spouse at a certain age, at full retirement age, I think it was. Yeah. And I understood that that was only applicable if you were older than having been born in 1954.
Well, if you were born before January 2nd, 1954, and you reach full retirement age, you have the option to elect to receive only the divorced spouse benefits and delay benefits on your own record, which could allow your benefit to continue to grow at 8% a year. And then at some point you could switch to your own benefit. So that may be what you're thinking about with that 1954 date. But the bottom line is, you know, everyone can receive or may be entitled to ex-spouse benefits, even as long as they're unmarried, which, you know, when they remarry, that does change things a bit. Your marriage lasted at least 10 years and, your ex-spouse is age 62 or older, then you could receive up to 50% of their benefits, the typical spousal benefit. But before 1954, you could elect to receive only the spouse benefits and delay your own. Does that make sense?
No.
Okay.
So because the woman who called in, I think she was probably born in 1955, I'm guessing somewhere in there. And she had met the criteria of being married 10 years, and it had been many years ago. And her ex, is it your ex-spouse is full retirement age or you are?
Your spouse would have to be at least 62. So they don't have to be full retirement age for you to take a spousal benefit.
Okay. Because I went to the Social Security office and I was told, because I was born in 54, that I cannot claim part of theirs because of my birth date being after that January 1954.
Yeah, no, that's not my understanding. I would check into that a bit more. You're entitled to that benefit, and you don't have to wait until full retirement age. You just have to be full retirement age to get the maximum benefit. If you claim it earlier, it would be reduced, just like it would be on your own record. So you could have as much as 32% or as little as 32% if you filed at 62. As long as your ex-spouse is at least 62 and you were married for 10 years and you haven't remarried, you would have the option to collect a portion of that benefit. That still exists today.
Does it matter? And it doesn't matter if his is more than yours or half of or less than yours.
Well, they're going to give you the higher benefit amount. So you would either claim his or yours. The 1954 date allows you to claim his and not yours and allow yours to be delayed and therefore continue to grow, which is a great strategy for some folks, especially if they want to rely on their benefit, which could be higher than the spousal benefit down the road as it continues to grow. And then you could go ahead and claim, his now. But I would revisit that because there's a few things that you mentioned there that don't make total sense to me just based on my knowledge of how it works. Everyone, regardless of your age, is entitled as long as you, are at least 62, he's at least 62, you were married for 10 years, you meet all those stipulations, you can receive up to 50% of his benefit, and they will only give you the higher of the two, whichever is more effective for you.
Is the difference then that if you're born in 54 or later, that you cannot switch back to your own when you're 70.
Perhaps that's the case. Yeah, I'm not. I would ask them about that. But yes, certainly prior, you have the ability to take his, let yours grow, and then switch to it, which would make sense that after that date, you have to choose one and lock it in. I'm not absolutely certain on that, but that would be worth checking into.
Okay. All right. Great. All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Lynn. Thanks for calling in. And hey, if you find something else out, make sure you call us back and report your findings. We'd love to continue to grow in our own knowledge of this. It tends to be very complex, so I'm always open to more input. Thanks for your call today. Hey, to Texas we go. Mike, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Yes. I'm right here, Mike.
Great. Go ahead, Mike. How can I help?
Oh, well, I just wanted to comment concerning the last caller or the previous caller about trying to get a good rate of return.
Okay.
But also being also secure with their investment.
All right,
so
go ahead.
I've been investing in something called an I-bond through the U.S. Treasury.
Yeah.
Through the U.S. government. The I-bond is based upon inflationary rate.
That's right.
And right now I believe it's paying 6.62%. on your money.
Yeah. Yeah, you're exactly right. I'm glad you mentioned that. We've talked about I-bonds a good bit, and it happens to be 6.89% right now, so nearly 7%. It was really attractive before November of 2022 when it was 9.6%. Phenomenal. Here's the only thing I would throw out, Mike, to consider is, that rate being very attractive like it is now, and you're right, it's very secure, backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. It's pegged to the consumer price index, which is falling, and the Fed is working overtime by continuing to raise rates to ensure that it falls as close to the 2% target that they normally have, as quickly as they can. And I think even last week's labor report was another strong indication that this economy is continuing to move along at a good clip, and they're trying to slow it, which means we could see, continued Fed hikes throughout the year. So I think that I-bond rate, which is very attractive today, when it adjusts again in May, it's coming down and it will continue to fall each 6 months. So you just have to factor that into the equation, because if it's money that has, in my view, more than a 3-year time horizon, I'd rather you be buying into the stock market right now, which is at very attractive levels, because I think that's going to have better long-term compounded performance than the I bonds, which are attractive now, but I think they're going to revert back to something that you're not very excited about here in the next year or two, and then you will have missed out on the market recovery. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I like your analogy of putting all your, not putting all your eggs in one basket.
That's right.
So I also do have the mutual funds. I have ETF and stocks.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So if we've got different buckets of money, with your 1 to 3 year bucket, that's where the I bonds can be great. Keep in mind, if you pull it out in less than 5 years, you're going to pay a 3 month interest penalty. It's not a whole lot, but just factor that in. But yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I appreciate you mentioning it, because a lot of folks don't realize that that great rate at 6.89 is still available at treasurydirect.gov. You can put in up to 10,000 per person per calendar year. You got to leave it in at least a year. Hey, more to come on Faith and Finance right around the corner. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're so glad you're along with us today. We'd love to hear from you. We've got a few lines open on our final segment, a few more moments to get in on the conversation today. Whether you're thinking about your spending plan, your investments, maybe it's that credit report or paying down some debt you just can't seem to get rid of, student loans or credit cards, whatever it is today, maybe it's your giving and how to be more effective there. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. We receive emails from listeners like you every day. We try to get some of those on the air whenever we can. Feel free to send your question along to askrob@faithfi.com. That's askrob@faithfi.com. Let's tackle one of those now. Marianne writes, thank you for your ministry. I am retired and live on a pension. I owe about $25,000 on a home equity line of credit. It has a variable rate that has been rising. Should I just focus on paying it off quickly, or should I turn the debt into a loan and lock in a fixed interest rate? And Marianne, I would say, first of all, this is a good reminder why I'm not a big fan of home equity lines of credit for this reason. Number one, it keeps the line open. and available, which is a bit enticing in terms of tapping into that home equity, perhaps when we shouldn't. I'd rather us focus on getting that home paid off, making it free and clear, rather than continuing to tap the equity to use for other purposes. But number two, it has this variable interest rate, which we're feeling the effects of right now. So I think you've got a couple of options. If you refinance this with a home equity loan, the closing costs and interest you'd pay would probably be close to what you'll pay in the interest on the HELOC. So I think you're probably better off, Marianne, just accelerating your payments on that HELOC and getting rid of it as soon as possible. This higher interest rate that you're paying is likely temporary. It will be coming down toward the end of the year. It already has some, and certainly into next year. So I'd avoid the costs of kind of rolling that over into a new loan. But let's really limit your lifestyle, try to free up margin or surplus on a monthly basis. That's going to be key for you to be able to get more going to reducing that principal balance. You know, with HELOCs, a lot of times, you know, we're paying interest only, especially while that line is still open and the balance hasn't been amortized to a particular payoff. So you're going to want to get up above the interest only, and let's start really attacking that principal balance. I hope that's helpful to you, Marianne. Again, if you have a question you'd like read on the air, feel free to send it along to us at AskRob@faithfi.com. Hey, before we head back to the phones, and by the way, we've got room for maybe one more question, 800-525-7000. Let me mention quickly, if you haven't checked out the FaithFi app, we'd love for you to do that. It is the very best, in my opinion, money management system out there. It's got three approaches to how you can manage your money. One of them is the digital envelope system, where you can connect to all your accounts securely, automatically download your transactions. You can set up automatic funding every month from your paycheck to your envelopes. Doesn't actually move money, but you'll see the money get moved inside the app, so you can keep tabs on it. And then as transactions come in, the balance comes down in each envelope. So you and your spouse at any moment during the month can see exactly what's left in each envelope, so you can stay on budget. Also in the app, the very best content in biblical finance and our FaithFi community, where folks are asking everyday questions and sharing ideas and encouraging each other. It's all there, and you can download it today. Just head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, and click on the app button to learn more. All right, back to the phones we go. Back to Texas. Hey, Mark, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just had a question about, I've got a 401k where I work. There's about $300,000 in there, all in. They do all the investing. I don't do any of that, but
okay.
We've been talking about going into precious metal, either gold or silver, and I was wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Yeah. Would you be looking to take physical possession, Mark, or are you looking at like a tracking ETF that just tracks the price of gold, or what are you thinking?
Well, I'd like to take physical possession, but I don't think I can without paying a bunch of taxes on that. So
yeah, well, I mean, you've got the premium on the buy and the sell, and you wouldn't really pay the taxes until you sell it. But, you know, here's the thing. I like gold and silver. I think the precious metals make sense, especially right now. I would be kind of at the upper end of your range that you set, or that you and your advisor set, which for me is typically no more than 5 to 10% of your investable assets. The reason being that, you know, although it's a great fear trade and it's uncorrelated and it does tend to do well in times of uncertainty, especially when there's inflation, you know, over the long haul, it's just more volatile and it doesn't have the long-term performance as a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio like you might have in that 401k. And so for that reason, again, I think it has a place, and I'd probably be at the upper end of my range, but I wouldn't overweight there. So, you know, if a prudent approach says, let's, you know, have no more than 10%, I wouldn't put, you know, 25 or 30% into precious metals. I just don't think that the case is there for you to do well over the long haul. And that's how you'd want to hold it. You'd want to buy it and hold it for a long time. So I'd just be careful about overweighting there. But beyond that, I like the precious metals, and I think, you know, buying gold coins or something like that can make some sense.
I got one more question for you then.
Yes, sir.
I keep hearing more and more about a a Christian based. Now, my company, I don't know the name of the company. I do, but I don't want to say it over there. But so I know I'm in BlackRock and some of those other things that I don't hear good things about. So I guess I'm asking what would be a Christian based fund or a people that could handle my 401k and make sure it's biblically invested.
Yeah, it's a great question, Mark. The good news is there's more options than ever today to be invested in a way that aligns with your values and priorities as a Christian, either by excluding certain companies misaligned with your values, by including or screening in other companies that are, you know, having a social or a human flourishing outcome, really promoting the common good and even having a kingdom impact. So that's available today in a way that it hasn't been in years past. And so the question is going to be inside your 401k, because it's a limited investment universe. Do you have any of these fund families that we talk about here on this program? So what I do is go to our website, faithfi.com, faithfi.com, click on the button that says the show, and then scroll down. You'll see some of the sponsors of this program, like Timothy Plan. You'll see Eventide, and you'll see One Ascent and Guidestone, and a whole number of the faith-based investing fund families. And then you're going to want to look at the options inside your 401k and see if any of those fund families are there. Many of them are being included in 401ks now that haven't had them previously. If not, you may not have that option. The only other option you would look for would be something called a brokerage window, where they allow you to take the money in the 401k and invest it outside of the 401k in other investments. And then that may give you the option to choose one of these faith-based fund families. I hope that helps you. Thanks for your call today. Let's finish in, looks like, Michigan. Hey, Ron, go right ahead, sir.
Good morning, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. I'll be real brief.
Sure.
Just a comment that I very much agree with your sure and steady approach. I had to learn it the hard way. If you're down 20% by being too aggressive, you've got to get 25% just to get back to even again. A lot of people think that if I'm down 20%, that if the market goes up 20%, I'm back to even again. And that's just not true. I would much rather just do sure and steady without the volatility. That's just my comment.
Well, I appreciate that, Ron. And you make a great point there. You know, oftentimes, especially when our portfolios are down, our natural reaction is to say, well, I need to do something different to kind of make up for lost time. And that's when we can really get ourselves into a difficult spot, because we take more risk than we should. We begin to speculate. And that's where we have the ability to lose even more, as opposed to saying, you know what, I'm going to take a long view with my investments. I'm going to follow biblical wisdom, which is this idea of steady plotting, where I'm diversified, and I'm going to, look out over 10 or 20 or 30 years, because even once I reach retirement, if the Lord tarries and I'm in good health, I still have a decades long need for this money. Well, that allows me to weather the ups and downs of the market. There's never been a 20-year period where the market's down. And so, as long as we're invested in the right things, in line with our goals and objectives and risk tolerance, then we have the ability to say, okay, I'm not going to look at a quarter or a year or even a couple of years. I'm going to look over the long haul, and I'm going to be sure and steady. And I appreciate you reinforcing that idea. Thanks for sharing that comment today, Ron, and for listening to the program. God bless you, my friend. Well, folks, we've covered a lot of ground today, talking about, first of all, being financially faithful in the busyness of life. This idea of seeking God's wisdom, James 1:5, if you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we need a plan, because we want to manage God's money faithfully, and that plan should include the counsel of Scripture. That's the transcendent wisdom that spans tax code. It spans the test of time. It's always right. It's always relevant. It can be trusted. It's not like the counsel of this world that kind of moves with the shifting sand. So, as long as we're rooting our lives on God as the owner and on the throne of our lives, and then putting everything else, including our money, under his lordship, then we have the opportunity to experience his best. Hey, I'm so thankful for my team today. I couldn't do it without them. We have an amazing group of men and women at American Family Radio that make this happen today, and my hat is off to their great work. Thank you for being here as well. I hope you'll come back and join us tomorrow. I'll be here, Lord willing, to do it all over and again. In the meantime, may God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.